Dear Sophia, I can still hear your voice, but I am not in Pakistan. Yesterday I crossed over from Lahore, your thousand-year-old city. Today I'm covered by a brittle blue sky, clear as glass, and Canberra. My head is between worlds. Where have all the people gone? I sit on the curb and I hold my head in my hands. The emptiness of this city, barely 100 years old. Have you ever had the feeling that you are caught up in an enormous pattern? That the one tile that is your life has become lost in the vast terraces of the universe? Lucky the tile who is graced by a foot of the Devi. Sometimes I think my tile must be lining the floor of some cosmic broom cupboard. You still float, a swan said to me as I wandered toward the lake. You still float. You still float. You still float. You still float. Dear Sophia, I'm in the core of Canberra. It reminds me, strangely, of subcontinental citadels. Deep inside somewhere is our future. The Burly Griffins planned this small green hill as a place of the people, for to stand on in solidarity. But they dug it up, and now it's hollow inside. Some people say the great question of this century is whether people will allow coexisting concepts of time. But will they? Will they, Sophie? Dear Sophia, I loiter lonely on the foreshore, talking to the flowers. I wonder how you are. Did you find water today? Pockets of the foreshore seem to be places where disappeared things re-emerge. One morning, someone had dumped the entire contents of their apartment in the car park at Kingston Wetlands. Their beds, their sofa, their chairs, drawers, lamps, clothing, cushions with stuffing trying to escape, magazines, coffee cups, beige and brown curtains, all steaming in the morning light. Surreal. Everything needed for a home, except the home. I turned over a cup that had fallen on the grass. I couldn't help but bend close, and this is what I heard. And there, asleep in front of the Lebanese takeaway, was the sleeper, dreaming under a pale blue doona. All around, people munched falafel rolls, shopping in their bubbles. I'm fascinated by the sleeper, for he reminds me of my father, who sleeps in his clothes. Beneath the sleeper, my father and Canberra. I imagine old man Lungfish swimming, keeping his records of the inner sea.
Oh, well, there you go. Good.
I've got a bag here I could put over my head. You'd have to leave me like I'm blind, though. No, it's beautiful. It's really lovely. The only thing that pisses me off is people with their bloody dogs. And the whole thing about having it like a faux wetland is to allow it to be an environment for native animals and birds.
Absolutely.
And people go there with these great big dogs and they let them jump in the water and scare the shit out of all the birds and the little animals and, you know.
That's a pain.
Lakes, like all beings, must have secret desires. This one wants to be alive. Carp kiss its banks in thanks.
Limnodiastes jumerillii, or pobble bonk. This is a contradictory lake with pockets holding different stories.
Like this.
I was walking around the lake when the shoreline started floating, whitened by the spray of Captain Cook's ejaculation. What is it trying to tell me? I wonder. There's an official version of the lake, the one where you're supposed to keep left as you walk. The wedding jetty is auspiciously adjacent to Citizenship Bank, resonantly opposite the High Court. As an Australian citizen, you affirm your loyalty to Australia and its people, whose democratic...
They'll make you wish you'd never come here. Dear Sophia, deep in the core of Canberra, they keep a painting on bark.
Under glass.
It's a message from the people of Yirrkala, calling for land and rights that were stolen.
Under glass. In a box. I saw the high court float off its banks, unreachable justice.
Corcorax melanoramphos.
White-winged chops. Cooperative birds living in Acton in families of 7 or 8. About the size of ancient human hunter-gathering groups. Dear Sophia, today the lake emerged with a surface of lavender and ice blue. A mirror of clouds entirely transformed its usual muddied water. Such a morning, the lake seemed to be trying to surpass its dimensions. All year, never another like this morning. It's the dimension of winter, and the possums of Liversedge Street are growing thick coats of fur. The lake washed up a thing. I thought it was a swan, but it was a viola, blackened. I took it home and cleaned it, but it could only play sob. The conservatorium. The lake sleeps, submerged in fog and frozen mud. Dear Zafia, a Mr. Hungy has appeared, hunched and meekly freezing inside his hoodie. He's at the junction where the ferry meets the footbridge, near all those huge hotels. I go and return with a container of homemade curry and some boxes of crackers. Mr. Hungy is barely conscious, but accepts them, gently murmuring, "Thank you, miss. Thank you, miss. Thank you." Mr. Hungy often sat there that winter, collecting nothing but glances.
Across Mr. Hungy's shoulders, I see the patterns. I recognize them from the year colour painting, the one buried in Parliament. Those designs, the ancient landlords crossing and hatching down his arms, tracking into the ground like inspired blood.
Dear Safia, I'm living in the cheapest place I could find, the caravan of Ling, real-life Mandarin princess. Ling immigrated with husband, who she supported through university, and who subsequently ran off with her niece. Ling is tiny, but her children are strangely gigantic. Ling and I forage for discount food from Woden to far-flung provinces of Tugranong and Gangalan. She's knocked out walls to let in the light, but the sadness is there in dark corners and eyes that never quite recover.
So deep in suburbia, I could die here and not be found until decomposed into the patterns of the carpet.
Early days, yes, we just, you know, sat on the floor on cushions and things. It was a simple life, It wasn't so elaborate, you know, like laid tables. And usually we had about, you know, a dozen people at least, and sometimes even more.
They needed our labour, so they tore up the White Australia policy. And so we came with our recipes from the other side of the world.
From the other side of the world.
From the other side of the world is where Our Lady of Trolley comes from. I began seeing Our Lady of Trolley around the lake, a tall, slender woman pushing a supermarket trolley vast, like someone being hunted. Sometimes she's singing under a street lamp in Civic, other times fallen asleep exhausted in front of the supermarket on freezing winter's nights.
She's a mystery.
Where does she sleep? What will she eat? Her accent as cultured as Geneva ice cream.
How did she come here? Why is she running?
Dear Safia, I see others also watching from the edge. Mariam sits in Cafe Essen. She's drawing, drawing.
In the place called Civic, a garden of concrete, Civic feels on the edge of time, stretched. Its concrete expanses widen as I walk.
Any coffee or drinks, or should I just come back?
Mariam looks so fragile. But to me, she's more solid and real than the city, because she's looking. I have to thank you, Mariam. Sometimes I felt nobody else was. Where does the story begin? Some days, snails threaded the black path with silver trails.
Drawing.
It had rained in the night a little.
In the city of 100 years.
Other days, it's the smallest black ducks that give the loudest
in
quack.
In the city of 1,000.
Was it the first time I walked past you, Sophia? Only I didn't know you were Sophia then.
Crinia signifera.
But only as the woman without a home.